Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
Hey there, friends. It's Troy here. Life was kind of crazy this week, and MC and I weren't able to get together to record our Samurai Jack episode. But instead of leaving the feed empty this week, I went and pulled our episode from the Too Young for This Trek podcast, which actually I wasn't on this episode, but where we talked about the new Star Trek Lower Decks, the new animated show from Star Trek. It's not an official Best Animated Shows Ever So Far podcast episode, but hey, it's MC and some friends talking about cartoons, so I figured it was pretty close. So enjoy Too Young for This Trek.
Too Young for This Trek, The Final Frontier. These are the voyages of
MC,
Troy,
and Eric.
Their mission to introduce Tyler to strange new episodes.
To seek out the best and worst media in the Star Trek franchise.
To boldly go where several podcasts have probably gone before. Hello and welcome to Young for This Trek, the podcast where three Star Trek nerds introduce Tyler to Star Trek random... Wait, how do we say this?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. Randomly.
Yeah, I mean, the episodes are random, but we don't just like randomly sneak up on Tyler with an episode. Be like, hey, watch this.
Yeah.
You're the only one that could actually feasibly do that. you know where I live.
That'd be hilarious.
I might have to do that
kidnapping
one of these
Tyler.
Days.
Yeah,
that would be hilarious, just kidnapping him.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think it'd be hilarious for his wife and his newborn baby.
No. No, here's the thing. It's you don't tell him what you're doing. You just go over to his house and you're like, you're coming with me. And then you take him somewhere and sit him down in front of a TV and just make him watch one episode of Star Trek. And you'll be like, okay, time to go home now.
That sounds horrifying.
It'd be the weirdest experience.
Like he has to catch an Uber to go back home. No, I think it would make more sense to bring a portable TV with me, right? And like old VHS copy of the episode.
I mean, yeah.
Strap him down like in Clockwork Orange with the eyes thing.
Yeah. It's you walk into his house, you like sit down on the couch, we're watching Star Trek now. What's with this intensity?
It sounds like an interesting like hostage situation. Like the SWAT team shows up and
but yeah, we have the titles of episodes and movies, and we get Tyler to decide
or
what
else
we're going to watch next without knowing what it is.
But it's good that we took all the time to explain that, because we're not doing that today.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, this week, because it's premiering, we're watching Lower Decks.
Yeah, we're taking a break from our Discovery coverage to watch the first episode of Lower Decks and kind of give our initial thoughts on the show so far.
Yeah, so something that's new to all of us. Also, I have a newborn baby, so I might be in and out of the room occasionally. Please just keep talking.
Yeah, sounds good.
We
sounds
will.
Good. So we watched season one, episode one of Lower Decks, Second Contact. This is the series premiere, like we said. Ensign Tendi has her first day of work on Starfleet's USS Cerritos, where she meets fellow support crew members Ensigns Mariner, Boimler? And Rutherford. Meanwhile, Boimler is tasked with a secret special assignment, and Rutherford attempts to keep his dating life intact while a zombie apocalypse strikes the ship.
Before talking about the actual episode, I want to know what you guys thought about it before seeing it. Like, what were your, like, preconceived
It's a good question.
I forgot the other half of that phrase. I'm very tired.
Preconceived notions? Or
I'm kind of a fan of, like, Rick and Morty and that sort of... I know Troy doesn't like that sort of...
well, like, anything on Adult
sort of humor.
Adult Swim kind of stuff, right?
It's more just Rick and Morty and a few of the other shows that he doesn't like, but...
Yeah, just from the trailer, I kind of expected something closer to Rick and Morty than what we'd normally get with Star Trek, which I think is kind of the appeal. I was interested in that, you know, like, because I really like Rick and Morty. Sometimes it's a bit much, you know, like, they really push boundaries. So I figured this would be maybe slightly tamer than Rick and Morty. But yeah.
Did I get back just as you finished answering the question?
Basically. I mean,
well, I was like kind of hoping for like a little bit of like a twist on Star Trek, like with the cartoon. There's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do. And the style, I was a little bit worried about until I saw a couple of other characters. Mm-hmm. Mainly the aliens that we see in this episode. Yeah. And that giant spider thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the animation looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Futurama a little bit, in a good way.
I'm kind of upset with the heads a little bit.
Why?
Like, they're a little bit, like, they're just, like, a fraction too big.
My only concern with the show was, so it has one of the writers from Rick and Morty, who also worked on another show called Solar Opposites, that was almost carbon copy of Rick and Morty.
Ah, gotcha.
And I just, those shows always go, like, super, super heavy on the gore.
They do.
And so I was concerned that they would do that in this, which they did sort of. Like, there's...
Yeah.
There's a couple things.
But it's definitely toned down a lot, and I hope they keep it that way.
I agree. You know, I like I was saying, I like Rick and Morty, but I do think sometimes it gets to be a bit much. Like, they really up the gross factor on that show.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the appeal, I guess. Like, that's kind of what they're going for with that show. And I feel like... Yeah, like, toning it down for this series makes sense, you know? You can still have some of that outlandish humor, but it doesn't need to, like, you know what I mean? It doesn't need to turn away people, you know?
That's how I felt with Solar Opposites. Like, I couldn't finish watching it. It's just, like, too much.
Yeah.
And I'm not a prude, I promise.
Yeah, no, totally.
Well, Troy also doesn't like that sort of stuff, so... Maybe that's why he doesn't like Rick and Morty all that much.
Mm. So with Rick and Morty, like, it took me a little bit to really get into it. There was a few episodes that I absolutely love, but I mean, I'm not obsessed with it like some people, I guess.
I've only seen the first two seasons because they were on like Hulu or something.
Oh,
and I burned
through
those pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But
season three is pretty great.
I haven't followed through to like figure out where I can watch any other episodes, but ready to talk about this episode?
Yeah,
I think so. Oh, well, okay, let's start with, what did you guys think of the opening of the show and like the music?
I liked it, to be honest. I thought it suited the show that they were going for. Like, when I first, I was, like, a bit skeptical, but once we got into the show, I, like, kind of recognized, like, the tone that they're going for, and I think that, like, that's what they were bringing at the top of the show. I just didn't realize it until about midway through.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny. I like how... there's some one scene where they're at like the Borg cube and they get shot once and they just leave.
They turn around and run for it. Yeah, that was amazing. I like that even the opening's like a parody on like classic like TNG, like the TNG opening and stuff. Like it's got a similar feel, but it's like does like goofy things with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like the ship like gets just, sucked it starts into a out black
just
hole.
Falling into a black hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like stuff banging off the hole and stuff. It was great.
And then there's like a space squid attached to the ship at one point. It's just going through a warp. I don't.
Yeah, I love that.
It's funny that the lights are like flickering on the ship too.
Yeah. it's like the USS Cerritos is like, it's not the Enterprise. It's like everything that goes wrong happens with the ship, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely the B team.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, let's actually talk about why they are the B team, essentially. They're not responsible for first contact. They're responsible for second contact.
Which is far more important.
Making sure that the name's spelled correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing if there's any good restaurants, yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a good concept. And this breaks from tradition because it's not about the bridge crew. I mean, it says right there in the title, is the lower decks. These are the red shirts, the background characters.
You get a lot more of the bridge crew than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Especially having one of the characters have direct ties to the captain.
Yeah, that's true. I think that might change as it goes on. I think for this episode, they were trying to introduce like all the characters. So you kind of need to know who the bridge crew are, but I feel like they'll kind of be in and out throughout the series.
Yeah. You can definitely see like if you were seeing it from the point of view of the bridge crew, like what the plot of the episode would be versus what it was for them.
I think, so this is kind of jumping to the end, but I think one of my favorite moments was where, they credited, was it the doctor for saving everyone? Like it was like they did it on their own.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of great.
Yeah, and it was really, well, I don't know the characters' names well enough.
I think that is, yeah, that's tough for me too.
One of my favorite scenes is actually just like
we need a guy.
A clip from when they're doing the spacewalk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Lieutenant Shax. The security dude who's Bajoran and just like this brick wall of a dude. He's just like taking people out. Like,
I love that
punching
character.
Him in the face and he's such a Bajoran.
Yeah, his shirt was all ripped like Kirk's halfway through the episode. Yeah.
Do you think the character with the beard? I don't know his name, but he's like the number one. I think.
Oh yeah, he kind of reminded me of Kirk a little bit. Kind of a Riker.
I was going to ask if he seemed like Riker to you guys.
Do you mean Jerry O'Connell's character?
Probably.
Yeah, I have no idea who any of the characters
are. Commander Ransom or something like that. I remember his name being like Ransom.
The one that gets the mosquito bite that causes the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that's Jerry O'Connell.
Nice.
Right. I don't know who that is.
That's right. You didn't watch stuff.
Basically.
Jerry O'Connell really became popular in a show called Sliders.
Oh, yeah, he was on that.
Okay.
Was he on that?
I've never seen Sliders, but I've only heard about it from Australian people.
Yeah. So, essentially, he was the main character in that. And he invents a device to go to parallel Earths, and they travel throughout the multiverse, essentially.
Okay, so I have the character names. I know who each of them are now, because I got images with them. So I'll go through each one, I guess. So we got Ensign Beckett Mariner. She's female. She... Like, I guess trying to see. Sorry, I'm trying to read real quick. She's, I guess, African American. She's darker skin. She's the one in the red shirt.
There's a lot of red shirts.
Yeah. Do they all have red?
No.
They actually have a discussion about that they're in command line with the new recruit, Tom Lee,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
She's in like the science.
Yeah, she's in the science, and they talk about Rutherford.
He's an engineer, probably.
Yeah.
I know he was talking about like wanting to fix a door or something.
Yeah, it was yeah. weird.
That's pretty funny.
So next up is Ensign Brad Boimler. He was the dude with the purple hair.
The pasty dude.
Yeah, the pasty dude. Yeah, real pale. he also wears a red shirt. And then Ensign Devana Tendi, she's the Orion, female Orion. She's green and has a blue shirt. And then the next one was Ensign Sam Rutherford. He's the cyborg with the yellow shirt. So Rutherford, Tendi, Boimler, and Mariner.
Yeah, so Mariner's like super goofy, mm-hmm. like easygoing, doesn't really care about anything, it seems like. Boimler's like uptight by the book, even though it seems like Mariner definitely knows more.
Rutherford is getting used to being a cyborg, which is great.
Yeah. He has a Vulcan implant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you noticed, but it has a Vulcan
That's
ear.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I did notice that. Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Like, he keeps, like, getting, like, super logical randomly.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Now it makes sense because there was the first part he couldn't get nervous about his date because I guess he was thinking about it logically.
Yeah.
The green chick, what is her name? Tandy, something like
Tendi,
that?
Tendi, I think.
Yeah,
Tendi. Tendi.
Yeah, she's an Orion.
What? Okay, I was going to ask you what race she was supposed to be.
There's a few episodes about her species. There's one really good one on Enterprise that's on the list that we'll definitely get to. But what I like about her character is that she's very different from a lot of the Orions we've seen. Did you catch that, MC?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of a nerd, which I thought was cool, you know?
Or are they normally like jocks or something? Like
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. A lot of the Orions we've
douchebags?
Seen.
Douchebags?
Well, sorta. I mean, it's hard to explain. I don't want to give away a twist that's in a certain episode.
Would they wear tap out shirts?
But a lot of the Orions we've seen in the past have been hypersexualized. So I thought it was cool that she was just like a normal person. I know that sounds weird, but it, you know, makes sense with the context.
I thought the main characters and like this because the main characters are the lower deck characters, the ensigns,
mm-hmm.
and the supporting characters in this show are the bridge crew, which I thought was a great twist on like what normally happens in Star Trek stuff, but the captain being the mother of one of the main characters, that like little plot twist, and you seeing like her father's an admiral on somewhere else, and
yeah,
like that's why she's such a great at being in Starfleet, but not actually wanting to advance in Starfleet.
Yes, I'm very complicated, thank you.
I think she says at one point, this is where all the fun happens. Those people up there are boring.
Yeah, I like when they were giving the tour to the new person, and they're like, you know, we've got basically everything above this is boring, and no one cares. There's ops here, we got more ops. Yep. Why do we have so many ops?
They go to the holodeck.
They do.
Mariner has her own special program.
Yeah. right at the end of that holo, I'm like, oh, they didn't get all gross and sexual with it, and then right at the end it was like twist. Yep. There it is.
Computer, load Mariner program all new to Olympic training facility. You might want to back up a bit. Wow, this is a really detailed program.
I thought that was a pretty funny scene, though.
Yeah.
And I liked how gosh, I keep forgetting their names. Boimler?
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to see, like, the warp drive, like...
Yeah. I love that he's such a nerd about space travel that one of his favorite spots is the warp core.
Yeah. So, you guys want to just talk about, like, your favorite scenes from it instead of trying to, you know, mention everything? Because it's really weird to talk about a comedy because, like, you're just retelling jokes. and that doesn't make them funny. So...
Well, there is another note that I want to hit, that zombie apocalypse that happens aboard starts with Ransom. He has some sort of infection on his neck, and he bites someone in 10 forward as Rutherford is on his date. And the date sort of really picks up at that point for Rutherford, but then it gets derailed by a door.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
What did you expect?
Well, for these maintenance hatch doors to recognize our comm badges.
Oh, no, I mean, what just happened?
I'm more worried about what didn't just happen. Failure analysis estimates the reliability of this mechanism at 1 out of 4.69 repeating.
Ugh.
Oh, are you seeing this?
And him getting all nerdy. It's great. I thought, like, how everything's connected and not connected in the episode was great.
I'm glad for the zombies. They could have made that super gory, but they obviously like toned it down because it was just like black goo. The only gory part of that was we have Tindy and like medical, like holding a guy's heart. I think it was like the nurse she was supposed to meet, like pumping it.
The anesthetic is useless. We have to work through the pain. Your hands clean? Pump this. Don't pass out. Nobody's authorized to pass out.
That's my heart. It hurts when you pump it. Oh, God. Oh.
Sorry.
I loved that moment.
That wasn't the nurse. The nurse was the first zombie person that she was taking care of.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. That was good though.
But yeah, I just really like how they did zombie apocalypse in space.
Definitely. Yeah, and like what was funny to me was that everything was fine at the end of the episode, just like a normal Star Trek episode. But it's like, how is everything fine? Yeah. So I thought that was great. Man, what else happened in this episode? I should have taken notes.
Oh, so let's just talk about our favorite moments. My favorite joke was, it was pretty early on. It was the first time you see Tindy. Boimler's working on a replicator, and it just is shooting out hot bananas for some reason. So he's just like catching these hot bananas, and he's like, hot banana, hot banana. And yeah. It was just random gag. Like, it made me laugh pretty hard.
Banana, hot. Banana, hot.
Ah, freaking burn me.
Yeah, there was like a lot of little things like that, and like quick little like visual jokes that you can like miss really easily. Like the Simpsons does that constantly. Yeah.
And Rutherford later on mentions having to fix replicators to the person he's on the date with. She's like, do they really break that often? And he's like, only when you put food in them.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my favorite part was probably when they had that, there was that creature that got out of the barn or whatever.
The spider.
And that weird spider creature. And like they took off all their clothes and they like put it like to try to like, I don't know, distract it or something, and they got up in the tree and it was just attacking his clothes, and she was like she told him to jump on it or whatever, and it got a hold of him, and that was just so disturbing.
Yeah. So my worst part about this episode is in that sequence right at the end where the big spider isn't eating him or dissolving him. It's just sucking him. And it's, like, super disturbing and gross.
Like, it absorbed his underwear. At the end, he was, like, covered in slime with, like, those big overalls.
I thought it was funny that Mariner mentioned, like, we can't use the phaser on him because it'll ruin his milk. Probably. And then, like, later on, like, the farmer aliens were just like, no, don't phase him. It'll ruin his milk. Because she's just like, they probably milk this thing.
Please don't phase her. It'll spoil the milk.
Did you hear that? I can't let it eat him.
She's an herbivore. She's just gumming on him to suckle out some moisture.
Oh, okay, hey, Brad, good news, buddy. So I've just, it's just settling you. I've just learned. You're fine. Hang in there. You got this. It is getting tired. So go to your happy place. Like, oh, think about the warp core.
You want a snack or something?
Yeah, that was great. Like, just supporting Marina, even though there's no basis for it, just support her theory. Straight away afterwards, yeah, it was great. Yeah, like, my favorite bit is that whole zombie apocalypse and just, like, the security and how they're getting, how he's covered in the goo that essentially saves the ship.
Right.
And the doctor gets all the credit for it, but that whole sequence of running through the ship through the zombie apocalypse and just, like, them just, like, whooping zombie ass for, like, what must have been decks. But, oh, that security guy is just, like, a wall. And it's so great to, like, see, like, characters like that. I'm like, yes, that's how you want a security officer to act. It didn't at one point he just, like, suggest to kill everyone?
at the end of the episode, there's, like, a preview for upcoming episodes, and there's a scene where he just wants to fire on the other ship immediately. It reminded me of Worf. He's like, shields up, you know?
I like how for the zombie apocalypse, it's all started by the ship's number one. Like, he gets bit, and someone's like, you should probably go to medical. And he's like, nah, let's go get a beer. And then it just escalates so quickly. Yeah. Like, he's the only one infected. And then the next thing you know, like, someone's like, this is happening all over the ship.
Should you get that looked at, sir?
I'll be fine. Want to grab a drink tonight?
You know it. Nothing like a cold beer after a smooth second contact.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Someone brought a virus back from the planet. This is happening all over the ship.
Yeah, it's like literally a couple of minutes before the whole ship is just infected and spewing black goo everywhere.
There was that great scene with, I guess his name's Rutherford? Where he's on that date in 10 forward, and that's when everything, like, that's when shit hits the fan. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, having, like, this cute moment while they're, like, dodging, like, phaser fire or whatever. The whole place is, like, just blowing up around them.
I've never played squash. Is it fun?
We should play sometime.
Yeah. So were there any, like, inside jokes, you know, like, Star Trek references that you guys picked up on that you really liked?
There's one big one.
The space walk.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah. That was a good reference.
No, not just that, but how Rutherford... Oh, is it in this episode or was it in the previous... anyway, he's like, you just got to jump and magnetize. Jump and magnetize.
Yeah. Whatever, forget to magnetize.
Oh, man. But that... a lot of the spacewalks in Star Trek, I like that.
There's one really, like, iconic
you
one.
See them jump, you see them jump, and then their boots magnetize back to the ship all the time.
Exactly. There was also, did you catch the dune buggy? Do you remember seeing that before?
No, I didn't.
So the dune buggy on the planet.
Oh, yes, I do remember it. Yeah.
I cracked up as soon as I saw that. The fact that they included it in this episode. It makes sense within canon that would be the kind of vehicle they have, but, like,
oh, also,
I don't even know how to
explain
that joke to Tyler, but
when Tendi arrives, she has one of the cylinder bags. I swear I've seen those being used everywhere as well in Star Trek.
We saw, like, a bunch of those on TNG, didn't we?
Yeah,
like that same style.
yeah
there was, like, a lot of little visual things like that, like just callbacks and whatnot, which I thought was really cool. And I feel like every episode is going to be chock full of stuff like
that. I know there was one part where Mariner was just, like, spouting off about, like, a bunch of different captains. I think she was mocking Boimer for, like, I guess he aspires to be a captain. So she's like, oh, you're going to be like Picard and, like, do this. And, you know, there was Kirk who, like, went to, they had the Genesis. I remember Genesis came up.
Yes. Yeah, they referenced a few things we covered, actually.
Yeah, they explained the plot very, very briefly of Star Trek 2, 3, and 4, I'm pretty sure. Because like, they mentioned Spock like coming back to life.
Yeah.
So, which I still don't know how that happened.
Yeah. Can't wait till we get to that one.
I've only seen the first half of The Search for Spock. And not going to see the second half till like January.
Oh. It'll be worth the wait.
Did you know about Spock? Dude came back from being dead.
Yeah, I think I've heard of Spock.
He's a freaking Genesis device and fought Khan and some space
Can
whales.
Can we just go back to not being friends?
How about Sulu? Ooh, he rocked a sword. That was his thing. That could be your thing too. We're due for a new sword
what
guy.
What can I do to make this stop, please?
Do you know Kirk?
Yes.
My man Worf?
Yes.
Gary Mitchell?
I'm sure I could look him up.
You don't have to because you have a mentor.
No, don't touch
do you
me.
Know Deanna Troi? Her body be banging. She went from a jumpsuit.
So yeah, I mean, overall, I really like the show. I think it has a lot of potential. That first episode, I mean, it made me laugh. That's all I really wanted from it. I feel like it could draw in like a whole new sect of fans, you know? But there are some like hardcore Star Trek fans that don't dig it.
I've seen more positive reception to this than I have for like Discovery or Picard.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
I guess that's a good sign.
I think it's so different that people are able to like turn their brain off and not expect it to be, you know, like
how it fits into
classic
canon
Star Trek.
Yeah.
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 I like the look of pretty much everything that's happening on the show, but like how it looks.
The first shot of the episode's amazing looking, like the space station and the actual ship. Like it actually looks really sharp.
There's some really good scenes of the ship just flying, and some of like the outside shots when they're doing the spacewalk, they just look phenomenal. And I think they're doing like the image of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. They're doing a really good job of capturing that.
Yeah. Well, and like the uniform design, which I thought was really cool, because it's after TNG era, but before Picard. So there's like a slight difference in the uniforms, and I think it kind of fits in, but I like it. I'm excited to see more. And I guess so going forward, although we're covering Discovery on this season, I guess we'll probably do a segment towards the end of each episode where we talk about our thoughts on the latest Lower Decks if we watched it.
So before we wrap things up, were there any things you didn't like about it? I can go first. I have one thing.
Sure.
So at first Mariner's character kind of annoyed me a little bit because she's like, you know, a joke a second type of character, but like that leveled off after like the very beginning when she had the batlet and she's like swinging around like an idiot and also like drunk on Romulan. Great.
Was it Romulan ale?
No, it was Romulan whiskey. I expected it to be L.
Yeah.
But yeah, like she just had like a joke a second and it was a little annoying, but then I liked her character better as the episode went along.
Yeah. I can't really think of anything I necessarily disliked about it. It was kind of what I expected, you know?
Oh, fuck, there was a cat in this episode.
There's a cat, yeah, I got a cat.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
There was. The
doctor is a cat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have any cat stories,
Tyler? I have a lot of cat stories. My cat, Clary, since we had our baby, has been, like, so needy. Like anytime, like it's time for the baby to eat or like the baby's diaper needs changing, anything. She's like, she's on it. She's like up in our business. Like, I feel so bad because he night before last, like we were having trouble getting him to sleep at night. And so like we finally got him to sleep and then she like walks up and she's like trying to like get attention. And we just had to like push her out of the bed like 3 times because she's like, no, we can't go through this anymore. Like, I feel really bad, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. We got a cat door recently for our bedroom, and like most of the cats have figured it out by now, but one of our cats, my cat Willow, and she's like scared of it, I guess. Like she'll like tap her paw at it, but like it freaks her out when the flap comes back, and she like refuses to go through it, and she still meows for us to open the door for her to go in and out, even though there's a freaking cat door there. And all the other cats, like it's been 2 weeks now, and she's still struggling with it. I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah, we just got like a active like cat treat puzzle thing where they have to like stick their paws in to pull out the treats.
That's awesome.
And 2 of the 4 cats have figured it out like easy, like they have no problem.
Yeah,
the others just stare at it like, what am I supposed to do with this? Just give me the food. So
it's amazing.
It's you can easily separate which are your smartest cats.
Yeah, definitely. Anywho, so yeah, with Lower Decks, I think the thing I really like about it is that it reminds me of this podcast. It's random. They're just like riffing off of Star Trek the whole time. And you know, it's a good time, you know?
Yeah. I think it's taking, like, there's been so many like comedy series inspired by Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's like embracing all of that, but like it is Star Trek. So
yeah. So I feel like they could do so much more with it, because 700 episodes, man, there's so much material to make fun of and pull from. And they don't have to like change, they don't have to try to change the names or whatever. They can just, you know, be like, oh shit, mm-hmm. the Borg just showed up, you know?
Yeah. And I've heard there's possibly going to be like cameos of like, you know,
I think that's so
actual
awesome.
Live action characters. So that'll be interesting.
Well, and because it's animated, they could do so much more with that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, guests, they can just pull in guest stars or whatever, and they don't have to be in the studio. They could be like calling in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so definitely excited to see more. I think that's all we have to say about it. You got for anything sure. else you want to add in there, MC?
Not really. I enjoyed watching it. It made me laugh out loud like a few times in it. I enjoyed watching it. I don't get why people are so mad about mm-hmm. new Star Trek and what's happening with it. Just happy to have Star Trek.
Same, man.
Any Star Trek.
I mean, for fans like us, we went so long without new Star Trek. And it's great that there's all this new stuff to watch. The only downside for me is I'm worried that they're going to oversaturate the market at the rate they're going. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be like a bubble that bursts, you know? Like, you know, it's like, pace yourselves, man. Like, This is all great stuff, but like, I barely have time to watch the shows I want to watch right now, you know?
I'm kind of glad that they're filling out more of like the future past
mm-hmm.
with like Discovery and that new Pike series.
Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about
Strange
that
New Worlds, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Like, the fact that they're filling out the history of Star Trek, you know, they're like filling out the little gaps in between. It's kind of like, maybe the Star Wars prequels isn't a good example, but like the Mandalorian that took place between episodes 6 and 7 and, you know, Rogue One took place before episode 4. I always love stuff like that, that builds on the universe, you know?
So I'm going to get Troy to send us like a 5-word, like his opinion on it in 5 words. So that'll go right here.
5 words.
Yep. Five okay. words. No more, no less, Troy. If you fuck this up, you're not coming back.
You're banned from the podcast.
Ridiculous, exciting, heartfelt Star Trek.
Hey, no, wait. Last episode, the three of us decided that we were taking over the episode from you, Tyler. we're now the captains. This is our show.
The mutinied.
Yep.
Well, Troy's the only one who's going to get punished for your crimes.
Yes.
Just teleport him into space.
All right. So, you can listen to more of MC and also Troy on the best animated shows ever so far, where they watch, discuss, and rank every cartoon ever so far, eventually. Hmm. Troy's also got another podcast that he's sort of like spooling back up. It's called Turtle Power Presents the Power Play through his podcast with Turtle Power, where he That's plays right. video games. It's like Let's Plays.
In a powerful way.
Yep. Sorry. I forgot that. He plays. He doesn't just play video games. He plays video games in a powerful way. So it's like a...
But it's it's like an audio only.
It's like a Let's Play, but with audio only. Mm-hmm. So he's describing what he's doing. And he's about to start like a new like long form series where he's playing... Mm-hmm. I forget the name of the game.
Is it Golden Sun?
Yeah, I was like, Sun something.
Yeah. I used to play that on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah,
I
never
great.
Played it. I always wanted to. So I'm curious to... Listen,
yeah. I don't know how it holds up.
So then Eric's got another podcast called Epic Fails of History. That's epic with a K, mm-hmm. where he talks about humanity's greatest failures and what we can learn from them. You have the second part of an episode coming out soon, right?
Yeah, part two of the Cuban Missile Crisis episode. Hoping to have that up next week, which would be this week by the time this episode comes out. We're time travelers.
And then podcasters assemble. Do you know what episode would be?
Okay, so the next one that people can submit for is The Living Daylights.
It's James Bond films, if you haven't heard us mention it a billion times.
Yeah, we're about to tackle the Dalton film, so it's about to get a lot better because we're past Roger Moore finally.
And then I recorded a random episode of a podcast where me and my friend Evan were both in bathtubs, different bathtubs, reviewing bath bombs. we're also in different states.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if we could have been in the same tub, that would have been magic. But there's not a tub that big.
You got to get like a jacuzzi, man. Like,
but it has to like span tubs. States because he's in West Virginia and I'm in Florida. So, yeah.
Build the tub.
If you can find that, you can listen to it. I'm not going to tell you where to find it. Yeah, it's sort of hidden. Just like search for Evan and Tyler in the bathtub, I think is what we called it. Evan and Tyler in the bathtub.
Is it on probablywork.com?
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's probably the best way to search for it.
Probably.
That's it for us.
What are we covering next? We're back to Discovery next week, I believe. Episodes 3 through 6, I want to say.
It's 6. 3 through 6? Because then it's 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, that's right. So that's like the biggest chunk of it, right? We had to like cram like 4 episodes into one. So if anyone's following along, yeah, you got your homework cut out for you.
I just watched the first episode of season 2.
Nice.
I fell asleep, not because of anything to do with the show, just having a newborn.
You have a baby. Yep.
I don't know if Spock shows up in that episode because it's called Brother. They heavily tease that Spock's going to be there, but then he's not there. And then I fell asleep. So I don't know if he showed up later or what.
That's great.
He shows up this season. That's all I'll say.
Let's see. MC, how do we end it?
3 to beam over to the Discovery.
Ooh.